Anytime at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The jury in New York's Chelsea terrorist bombing trial is resuming deliberations, as Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
The jury is reconvening in the trial of the Afghan-born New Jersey man charged with setting off a bomb in Chelsea last year that injured 30 people. Late Friday, it sent a note to the judge saying it was close to reaching a verdict. Ahmad Khan Rahimi has pleaded not guilty, but prosecutors said the journal the 29-year-old kept amounts to a confession. There was also DNA evidence linking Rahimi to the Chelsea explosives and bombs planted at a race in Seaside Park, New Jersey, plus surveillance video putting Rahimi at the Chelsea scene.
The head of the Federal Reserve says the recent hurricanes that have ravaged the U.S. and the Caribbean had a noticeable impact on the U.S. economy. Here's more from Mark Mayfield.
However, Janet Yellen said on Sunday it's not expected to be long-term. Yellen told the Group of 30 International Banking Seminar in Washington that while the effects of the hurricanes are quite noticeable short-term, history indicates the longer-term effects will be modest. Yellen says the storms had noticeable impacts on economic growth and unemployment. In September, the Fed chief says payrolls were down 33,000. But Yellen says that weakness is reflected in Hurricane Irma hitting Florida during the reference week for September labor market surveys.
And heads up, if you got an extension back last April to fill out your income tax returns, today, October 16th, is the deadline for getting all of your materials in to the IRS. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. No, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com, Outsider Studios, 56 degrees. Had a little bit of rain last night. Supposed to be a slight chance of showers this morning, but I think that's passed. It might hit the 60s today. Clear on the overnight, low around 35, although there is a, for certain areas, maybe a slight frost advisory. Not a big freeze, but it's starting. Finally a cool down here in the northeast. Tuesday night, clear on the in the upper 30s. Wednesday could hit 70, nice and sunny. Clear Wednesday night. Sunny again on Thursday and Friday. High should be around 70 degrees, low in the 40s at night. So get ready for fall. We've got to sweeten those apples with a little bit of frost. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Chef Bill Kinslow, here at LettermanChamberRadio.com. Chef at Jake's Restaurant here locally for 26 years plus, serving the community, all our friends and family. And we get together on Mondays or anytime, really, if you listen to a podcast or a rewind, talk about cooking and food, beverages, spices. We had Pete Nercio again last week talking about the warming spices, if you will, fall spices, pumpkin pie, apple pie. Think of all those things right now as our weather turns cooler. Got a little bit of background here. Construction underway at the building here where we are. Apologize for that. A little bit of echo in here. Anyway, this week, what are we looking at? Pasta Day, celebrate this week. Pumpkin cheesecake, which is a favorite, especially this time of year, although I think pumpkin cheesecake is probably one of the better ones out there. I like the texture that comes with adding the pumpkin puree. It just makes even a nice, rich dessert even richer. We can talk about a couple of twists we can put on that this week. So as the again, as the weather turns cooler, think of a whole different set of vegetables, right? We don't have that many choices on proteins, although game or other types of protein would be, again, something we think of this time of year. Or when I first restaurant I worked at, the owner was a sportsman, hunter, and a lot of his friends were, and we used to collect game every fall for a big game dinner in January that we would host. And of course, we're not selling it, but it was a big party when things slowed down. It was a invite only, and a lot of people that contributed the meat. We'd process it and pack it in the freezer and then bring it out, have a big buffet. So maybe we'll do a show on game. I know a lot of people might be a little averse to it, but commercially raised game right now, very, very good nutrition, protein, lean, good for you, and doesn't have that flavors that we would associate with maybe years ago when people were just hunting. So we'll look at that. Anyway, today, pumpkin, of course, is one of the squashes, and that family of vegetables is something we kind of look at this time of year. We've had our zucchini and summer squashes, patty pan, minis, and the last of the zucchini is probably done. Cucumbers would even fall into that realm, although we usually do pickles with cucumbers. They are good as a savory dish also. If you've never thought of that, you can try that. But the squash, a lot of advantages to squash. My father always liked them. He was always had a garden growing most years and didn't like to grow greens and things like that, especially spinach, because you didn't get much out of them after you cooked them. Squash seemed to have that heft and that substance, the strength. The nice thing about squash is, of course, they're not that expensive. The preparation can be a little daunting for some people. There's a thick skin on most of them. You have to use a pretty good knife, but they do hold up well. They don't really need refrigeration either. If you're trying to plan for meals during the week, and this is what I think, the cooking part is not that difficult. I think most people, you have a go-to dish or a formula recipe, things your family likes. But it's the shopping and planning. And what happens when the plan gets thrown, all of a sudden you've got something planned for one night and you got to work late, or somebody had to go to the doctors, or something came up. And then the plan gets shot, right? You got to order out or order in or go to plan B. Probably most difficult if you're planning some kind of seafood. But for the most part, if you have some vegetables on hand, you can always construct a nice meal. And again, a go-to protein for many people, chicken, white meat chicken. I prefer the thighs myself. But pork is very economical. And the way we're raising now, of course, the chefs, everybody likes to brine the pork chops, and we need more fat in there, we need more flavor. But the pork shoulder, if you're using that, if you like, the loin is good. Loin, boneless loin would be actually a very good value, because with pork, a lot of the money is on the ribs. And, of course, nowadays, with the bacon craze out there, pork bellies are probably the most expensive part that's sold. You can see that in the pricing. Very, again, delicious food, very good, but you know, there's only so much you get. You know, you've got to use the other stuff, too. So we like boneless pork loin as a nice cut. And we've talked about schnitzels and scallopinis, ways you can do that. The pork shoulder has some fat in it, usually ground up for sausage. I like to make a braise with it, braised pork. And what I'll do is, you know, they say, oh, pork's the other white meat. It's not really a white meat. It's got a little bit of iron, some vitamins in there that, you know, it was a marketing thing. But technically speaking, it's not. There's plenty of iron and good stuff in there, and you can always augment that with some other vegetables that contain iron if you're worried about getting your iron content. But the pork shoulder, what I like about using that, we used to grind that to make sausage, and actually our sausage was leaner than what you'd commercially get, because most sausages have some extra pork fat added to it. And even, again, be careful. Sometimes your sausage is made with other products, say lamb or beef or even turkey sausage. Just be careful. Read the ingredients. Oftentimes there is pork fat put in there, again, for the flavor. Usually sausages are about 30% fat. And if you take just a pork butt, it's about, you know, it's that 80-20, that blend that we like for burgers. Enough fat for flavor, but not so much that you're getting an overload of saturated fat. So the pork shoulder, buying a piece of that now roasted. Now you see porchetta out there, roasted pork, braised pork, slow cooker, always a good option. Pulled pork, barbecue, if you want to set something to be ready for when you get back home. You want to leave your little slow cooker on or your crock pot, whatever. Braise it, and when you come home, you just have to finish it off, right? Make your pasta or whatever else you're serving with it and go for it. But braising a pork shoulder cubes doesn't take that long, whereas if you're making a beef stew with chuck, which is your better choice for that, don't use the lean round or anything like that. You'll get tenderness, but it's just still not that much flavor. Pork cooks up in literally just an hour or so versus the 2.5 hours or so you may need for a good beef stew. Chicken or turkey thigh meat would work well, and of course cook a little bit quicker. But sometimes you want something besides chicken, right? Nice thing is with squashes and with these warming spices or fall spices, pork takes well to that. Not unlike poultry, the little dried fruit, some of the sweetness really helps it. So having some pork cubes on hand, and again, cubing them yourself, you can actually control the fat. If you buy a pork shoulder, and again, could be confusing, they might call it a pork butt, which is not from the back end. The pork butt is the pork shoulder, although they're trying to rename these parts so people can identify them more easily. You can trim out some excess fat. Now I'll use cubed pork, a cassoulet, a nice ragu, but a braised pork, I was thinking with the squash, winter squash that are available cubed up would be nice complement to something like braised pork. So we've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll look at first of all, some of the squashes and kind of how we can prepare them, what to look for, the flavors. And we've got pumpkin cheesecake. We're going to have some other pastas maybe made with squash or pumpkin when we come back at the table. Are you gathering up the tea? Have you got
Have you had enough of mine?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambie's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, we're back at the table here at Chef Bill's Table, looking at winter squash. So we know our summer squash, we just got through with that, the zucchinis and patty pans, the yellow squash. Winter squashes are mature squashes, whereas the summer ones are, we kind of eat them immature. And winter squashes benefit from being pretty much fully cooked. You're not eating them raw. Although, with these spiralizers now, we're doing different vegetables. Sweet potatoes, squash, things like that come out very well on a spiralizer if you want to try something unique. But preparing the winter squash is, again, sometimes daunting. You need a good French knife, good cook's knife. You got to take off the skin. Now, some techniques call for baking the squash or steaming them and then peeling them and taking the seeds out afterwards. It takes a long time for that. I like to divide and conquer. So if, say, something simple like butternut seems to be ubiquitous, we use it in a few applications at Jake's, even year-round. Butternut squashes, They're always available, the winter squash, although they are best this time of year. Butternut has some good flavor to it. Pumpkin is a squash, but doesn't have much flavor. That's why it's heavily sweetened, heavily spiced. We use it in a pie. It's, you know, it's good fiber. It's good for you. But it's very, very neutral in flavor, although that could make it a nice ingredient in things, especially besides sweet food, spicy food. So when we're talking about preparing these squash, we're going to, I like the butternut, let's say. It's got the longer neck part and then the bowl at the bottom there. We kind of cut those right where the bowl ends. So we have two pieces. One is kind of a cylinder. Very easy to prep that. We cut off the stem with the knife. And you're going to peel off, not with a peeler, because you want to get a little bit below that skin and get to the nice orange flesh. So the cylinder standing the cylinder up on upright. Just take the knife and just run down between the skin as deep as you need to go, and right onto the cutting board, and you've got it peeled. Then you can cube it or slice it, whatever you want to do with it. The bowl part, we're going to scoop out the seeds, and same thing. You're going to go kind of following the curve of the bowl shape, take off the outer skin. We'll take the seeds and the fiber out. Now, the nice thing, these winter squash with the seeds, what you do is rinse those off and dry them, and you can toast those. They're a great snack. Salt them a little bit, maybe a little chili powder if you like. The good topper if you're using the squash in a salad or a savory dish, you want a little crunch put on at the end. The seeds are very nice, so don't throw them away. Pumpkin seeds, squash seeds, they're pepinos, they call them. My guys, we do them all the time. So now you've got the flesh, and you're going to, again, you cube it, dice it. If you're going to steam it and puree it, you could use bigger chunks, but you want to make sure the chunks are all kind of have the same depth to them so they cook evenly. So simply, if you're going to make a puree, some old recipes would call for boiling them, but then you're going to take flavor away. I think steaming them is better. You could do them in a microwave steamed, although it probably takes just about as long. You're creating the steam to cook them. We roast ours for a salad in the oven. We have the cubes. We just toss them with a little canola oil, and you can season them beforehand, salt and pepper, or season them afterwards. It's easier to season them before. I like to toss them. A lot of recipes, again, you know, spread them out in a pan and drizzle them with oil, but I like to toss them in a bowl so every piece gets coated. And then 400 to 425 degrees, roast them on the sheet pan. They don't take long. It could be 8 to 10 minutes, depending on how good your oven is and how big you've cut the cubes. If I was doing them on a salad, we cut them relatively small. If you're going to mash them and puree them, you may want to roast a little bit bigger cubes so you get a little bit more concentration of flavor. It's going to take a little longer. What you're trying to do is get rid of some of the water. These winter squash do have some water in them, and to get the flavor, to coax the flavor out of them, you want to get rid of some of that water. Now, some of the other ones, acorn squash is the flesh is a little bit more fibrous. A lot of times you'll see that just simply cut into wedges and baked. Now, you could do that. You could roast those maybe halves, let's say, and then scoop the flesh out and mash that. Now, if you're serving it as a side dish, that's fine. If you're making a soup, the acorn is kind of difficult because they're a little bit more fiber to the product itself. But we have a caboca squash that holds the shape very well if you're going to saute. Very good squash flavor. The delicata, also another, if you see those varieties out there, again, for years the stores just would have acorn and butternut. Hubbards are big, a little bit unwieldy, but they're good if you have to feed a crowd. I guess one of those Hubbards would be very nice. The spaghetti squash, and we used to use it year-round. We don't use it in the summer anymore. Sometimes there's a trouble with the consistency, but that's a unique one. Actually, the flesh is very fibrous. It breaks apart like angel hair, like pasta. And with that, you could either roast the halves. If you do roast them, do it cut side down, maybe a little bit of water. You could steam them. I've done them in the microwave also, which is just, again, kind of steaming them. We steam them at the restaurant. Get them not cooked all the way. You want them soft. You want to be able to scoop out the the strands, but you don't want it too mushy. You want to have a little bit of texture left with those strands so you can reheat them. We saute them with a little broth and butter, but you could also steam it again or microwave the strands to heat them up as a base if you're using it like pasta.
Through the distant clouds of teeth, and I'm like a bridge that was washed away.
Again, you could probably, if you don't need to use a lot of squash, there's probably prepped squash in the grocery stores, a lot of vegetables you can buy already prepped. It helps out if you're not using that much or if you don't have time or you don't have a good sharp knife. Sometimes you just want a little bit of something. But these squash, they, again, as long as they're left whole, you don't even need them in the refrigerator. And once you prep them, they have a pretty good shelf life, the raw product. So if you want to invest in a squash, you're going to have it a couple of different times a week. It's always a great side dish, I think. And especially if you want to pair it with some greens, got it made. Example, our harvest salad. We started it a few years ago. Actually, it could be longer than that, but as a fall dish. So we have roasted butternut squash. We use the baby green lettuce because it's got some more interesting lettuces in there. We roast the squash. We have candied pecans. And we grate aged provolone with this. So, and also some dried cranberries we toss in there. So it's kind of a, you've got the bitter greens, the squash is complemented by a couple of these sweet elements, dried cranberries, candied pecans. But then you have that saltiness of the aged provolone. We don't use anything stronger than that. It's not as strong as, say, a Parmesan or an Asiago, but it still has good sharpness to it. And aged provolone is not just old provolone cheese. It's actually the mild, the regular provolone is kind of a, maybe a step up from mozzarella, a little bit more flavor, but when it's aged, and it's going to, again, you know, the cost doubles, the time and the, but it develops a great flavor, a sharp flavor, and so we'll use that on the salad. Then we do a maple balsamic dressing. Balsamic vinegar has a little inherent sweetness to it anyway, a little bit of maple syrup to kind of tie in with the fall, and you've got a nice combination. Could come off as being a little bit sweet, but again, with the cheese on there, it's fine. And we've actually been serving it year-round for the last couple of years because it's so popular. Naturally, right now is when it'll start selling better. But even all summer long, people, it's a good salad, good combination. Squash, greens, and a little bit of cheese.
Would you hold?
Now, once you have your squash diced up, I've done simple things like sauté and kind of do them like hash, what you call hash browns, the cubed potatoes. And the squash, you don't need to pre-cook for this. You'll do it slowly. It could take, you know, 7 or 8 minutes. I like to use whole butter because it's got a little bit of the milk solids and water in it, so it doesn't really brown too much, but you could use oil if you want to brown them a little bit. But really, sauteing them in a big skillet, it might take 7 or 8 minutes. You want them fully cooked, but not to where they're going to mash. And after, you know, about, again, that 8 minutes, you'll feel, I like to poke them with a tine of a fork there and see if they're getting tender. You have a nice herb mix of savory and thyme and sage, you know, all three or two of them, if you like. A little bit of salt. You need some salt and pepper, of course. So once they're almost done, you'll toss the herbs in there and then cover the dish. If you like, you can put a splash of water in there to create some steam to finish them off. And then you've got a nice diced hash brown type dish. You could put some onions in there too if you like. Usually when you're doing potatoes, you have to cook them and dice them, chill them down a little bit. The squash you can just take from raw. It's a good starchy vegetable and maybe a nice alternative to home fried potatoes. We've got a break for news here, and we'll be back at the table and look at some other ways we can use this winter squash. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Accused Army deserter and former Taliban prisoner Bo Bergdahl pleading guilty to desertion and misbehavior, saying he doesn't believe he would get a fair trial after comments made by President Trump last year. During his campaign, Trump called the sergeant a traitor. The 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment trooper walked off his combat outpost in Afghanistan in 2009, which led to his capture by the Taliban. Finally, some better news coming out of California, where firefighters are getting control of some of those big wildfires. Sharon Reed has details.
Winds began to die down yesterday, and crews in Northern California say they now have two of the most destructive fires, more than 50% contained.
President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell are to have a working lunch at the White House today. This is USA Radio News.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24-Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24-Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24-Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
We're back at the table here. I'd like to remind everybody, while I have you here, the 25th annual Turkey Trot here in Flemington. Become a big event. Remember when it first started? It starts at 9:30 a.m. exclusive running Thanksgiving Day 2017. November 23rd. There's a 5K run at 9:30, a 2-mile walk at 9:40, a virtual run for those who can't attend. And produced by CEA and the CEA School, directed by Johanna Foods, plenty of local sponsors. It seems to be a great family gathering, way to start the day, especially if you're going to just hang out and eat the rest of the day. You kind of feel better about starting the day off with at least a trot or a walk. But it's pretty cool. I say it's been going on for years. I know entire families get involved, and even people travel from all over to do it. It's a nice event, so it's a good way to start your Thanksgiving.
Darling, don't you leave my building
back. All right, so this so our winter squash. So your basic sautéed squash, good side dish, good base for other things. Being pasta week, of course, we this time of year we use pumpkin raviolis, and you can find butternut squash also out there. Oftentimes they're done in a tortellacci or a tortelli, which is a large tortellini. I've even seen, if you don't have the wherewithal or the time to make your own raviolis and you don't have a good source to buy them, you could always do what chefs call an open ravioli, just with some pasta squares, and you have your filling. So you put a pasta square down, put the filling, and put another piece on top that's already cooked, and then put your sauce or your broth around it. Call them open raviolis, so they're not sealed up. So a little bit easier to do if it's something, you know, again, if you're not able to make them. You can usually find it, again, at a good Italian deli or good pasta manufacturer will have at least the butternut, if not this time of year, the pumpkin raviolis. And they're not really sweet, but they are. Traditionally, the recipe would call for a little bit of the crumbled amaretti in there, those nice crunchy amaretto-flavored cookies, that little almond in there. Oftentimes, nutmeg is used with the squash, even in a savory dish. So in lieu of that, if pasta isn't your thing, or if you can't get them, a nice risotto made with pumpkin is a good idea. Risotto is considered pasta in Italy, the pasta course, if you will. Arborio rice, of course, necessary. You want this to be kind of creamy. You want that. You're not going to use long grain converted rice for this. Some risottos that are made with vegetables, the vegetables are used in place of the rice. But in this one, of course, it's going to be kind of our, I call it the garnish or the flavoring for the rice. So instead of just being a plain risotto, this would make a good base, again, for some poultry, some pork. If you're doing, whether you're doing a braise or you're doing a, even if you wanted to just do some thin slices, pan fried, would be fine. So when you're doing a risotto, advantage of it, it's meal in 30 minutes, but it's 30 minutes that need some, you know, not constant attention, but pretty regular attention. The rice has to be stirred periodically. This is what helps absorb the broth and gives it that creaminess. Some of the starch, when you're stirring the rice, comes off of the rice to kind of thicken it a little bit. So that's a very important technique with the risotto. You don't just dump all the stock in there like you would for a pilaf, which then pilaf, you want the grains to be separate. The paella, you want the grains to be separate. With the risotto, you're stirring, you want the creaminess that's coming off the rice. So we have a little bit of onion and garlic. You could use shallot if you want something a little milder. 2 cups of arborio rice, a small onion diced up small, maybe one clove of garlic. And you're going to have about, let's say you've got a Hubbard or butternut squash. You probably need about a pound and a half squash. What you're going to try to do is, once you prep this, you're going to grate the squash to get about 3 cups of grated squash, and then cube the rest. That'll be kind of your garnish in there. The grated squash is going to, of course, be absorbed in with the rice. I'm going to use dry vermouth for this. You could use dry white wine, normally called for. The dry vermouth has many herbs in there. It gives it a really neat flavor. If you have some on hand, it's a good cooking wine. It's got, you know, besides being used for the martinis, the dry vermouth with poultry or seafood, very good. So we're going to saute the rice. We want to always saute our arborio rice first. Coats the grains there, and I do it till I just hear them start to pop. A little bit of toastiness there, as you call it. Add your onion and garlic, and you're going to cook that slowly for a few minutes. Add your vermouth and stir until that gets absorbed. It's going to bubble up right away and get absorbed pretty quickly. You should have on hand 4.5 to 5 cups of broth. Now, it could be chicken broth. It could be beef if you like. The chicken broth is usually preferred, keeps the color nice, but beef broth, if you want a little stronger flavor, you could do that. You want that warm. You want to add this warm to the rice mixture. So once your vermouth is absorbed, you're going to add about a cup at a time, half a cup to a cup, just enough. What I do is I put enough just so that it covers the rice, and then again, you're going to stir, let that stock get absorbed in there. You're going to have the shredded squash in there along with your rice and other vegetables. That's going to kind of disappear in there. It's going to help make the risotto nice and creamy. So we got vegetables, rice, vermouth. We're starting to add some stock. After maybe two or three additions, you can add the cubed squash because we want that to cook, but we don't want it to break down. So we want it to be still a little bit firm. And it takes about 15 minutes. And you make your final addition of broth, some chopped parsley if you like. That's when you season. You want, because the rice is almost done. If you need salt, fine. You may not if you're using a commercial broth. Your black pepper, a grating of nutmeg would help with this. And when the rice is done, you still want it to be a little soupy. You'll stir in a little bit of Parmesan cheese right before you serve it. And this butternut risotto will be a great base for a meal. As I said, poultry or pork. I would say with this, you want some greens. I mean, broccoli rabe to me comes to mind, especially this time of year. Some people may want some cooked kale. Kale wouldn't be bad. Spinach, always good. But one of those dark greens would be a nice garnish to this. Another option, if you want to put a little fruit flavor to it, and we've done this with this butternut risotto, is some dried cranberries. Now, you can put them in early on, but what I like to do with dried fruits, if I'm using them in a recipe, is plump the fruit in a little bit of liquid. And depending on what I'm doing, if I was doing this dish, I would take a little bit of the warm chicken broth and cover the cranberries with the dried cranberries with the broth and just let them plump up, soften them. And then you will, when you add the cranberries, you'll add that liquid also. It's got, you know, some of the sweetness to it. Dried cranberries, we like to use the straight dried cranberries. The sweetened ones, they're good as a snack, but, you know, a little bit more sugar. But if you can find regular just dried cranberries, you've got that natural tartness and sweetness in there. A little bit better if you're making savory dishes. The sweetened ones would be, you know, okay in a sweet dish, but we want that little bit of sweetness, but the dried cranberries really with the nutmeg. Now, again, if you want a little sage or something in there to make it kind of holiday or festive-like, by all means do it. But a risotto, again, with your ingredients on hand, a simple half hour makes a great base. If you wanted to even serve a piece of grilled sausage with this, as a dinner, it would be very good. You've got your vegetables in there. You've got a nice creamy starch. It's gluten-free. Can't go wrong there, right? If you're looking to avoid wheat and pasta, things like that, consider a risotto as far as add that to your wet repertoire for pastas. Going to break for a couple of messages here and we'll come back. We've got to we'll make soup out of this. What other ways? What to do with even with a pumpkin ravioli or tortellini? You know, at the restaurant, the favorite one for us with the raviolis, pumpkin raviolis, is a gorgonzola cream with toasted walnuts. A lot of times you'll see a brown sage butter, which is very, very good with walnuts or pecans, some kind of nuts in there. You like, toasted nuts there, especially this time of year. But the gorgonzola cream, it's kind of like if you think of an Alfredo, which if you don't like gorgonzola, a regular Alfredo would also be good. It's that nice, that sweetness and salty, again, that sharp cheese with the sweet raviolis or the sweet pumpkin filling is a nice contrast. We'll take a little bit of heavy cream, a pat of whole butter, and just white pepper. You don't need any salt. There's enough salt in the cheese. And we bring that to a boil. Let it reduce a little bit. And then stir in the gorgonzola. The gorgonzola cheese, you can actually simmer it a little bit. It doesn't curdle on you like some cheeses will. Makes a nice smooth sauce. Add your toasted walnuts. And nice complement to pumpkin or butternut squash ravioli.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table, looking at squash, some other ways we can use it. If you want to make a simple soup, and it's one of our favorites, we make it periodically in the fall, featured Thanksgiving Day is one of the choices, a nice puree of butternut squash. Start with, again, some onion and celery, and we'll use chicken broth in this. If you want to thicken it, The butternut, when you puree it, does thicken a little bit, but I would put a peeled starchy potato in there also. Or we've used potato starch also as a thickener. Again, keeps it gluten-free and just doesn't have... Sometimes the flour still leaves a little bit of a starchy taste. But if you put a peeled potato diced up in there, when you puree the soup, it's going to help thicken it and, you know, more nutrition, right? So if you have 3 pounds of squash and you're going to peel it and clean it out and cube it, you need about 3 cups of, I mean, there's one simple one. You could use Hubbard or butternut, I guess, would substitute. 3 cups of broth, a half cup of Dijon mustard, and a pint of cream, and a little lime juice at the end, and some pepper. That's one way. We do it kind of with the fall, again, the warming spices, that little bit of nutmeg, could use cinnamon if you want. We like I like ginger, powdered ginger with squash. But if you have a couple of pounds of butternut squash, then peel it up, dice it, about 3 cups of broth. You can add cream if you want, or if you want to just finish it with creme fraiche at the end. But we do add the cream to it. Again, not a whole lot of seasoning. You want the squash to come through. You could use the warming spices or take it as a more savory direction. With the puree, you will make the squash puree and add maybe some andouille sausage to it. If I was doing that, I would add the sausage after I puree it. You don't want to really puree the sausage. I like to dice up the sausage and then saute it in a little bit of oil just to get that browning caramelization, get a little bit of flavor in there. Also, the andouille adds a little heat. That heat complements the sweet that comes out of the squash. We've done this with sweet potatoes. You'll see a lot of these recipes can be bounced back and forth between, you know, winter squash and maybe sweet potatoes. You know, they have that inherent, a little bit of that sugar and that good texture. Pumpkin cheesecake, there's another one. You can normally, I guess, buy one. If you like to make cheesecakes, good recipes out there. Again, you're adding some of the pumpkin puree. Now, pumpkin pie filling and pumpkin puree are two different things. Pumpkin pie filling has a thickener in it. It's a little bit different. Plain pumpkin puree does not have the sugar in it. You need to add the spices, things like that. Now, if you're making a pumpkin cheesecake, you'll use the puree and then add those spices that you like, the pumpkin pie spice or the whatever your own mixture is. I also like to add a little bit of bourbon to that. I mean, you could put vanilla in, but bourbon is nice. Bourbon's got a little bit of, from the oak aging, has got a little bit of sweet vanilla overtones to it. And when you're baking the cheesecake anyway, most of the alcohol is going to bake out, but the bourbon is a very nice addition to it. Maple syrup in there somewhere sometimes does, or what I've done is make pralines or pralines, I guess more accurate if you're down south, which are the pecans in the caramel, the brittle, like peanut brittle, but made with pecans. You could do candied pecans, a quick one if you like, just the sugar and a little bit of butter, and get that coating on the pecans. Or you can really buy or make the praline. And that ground up into your crust is nice. Puts that little sweetness in there if you're making your graham cracker crust. But also, we like to stir, once the cheesecake is in the crust ready to be baked, sprinkle some of those pecans in there and kind of mix them in, the pecan praline. Nice little addition to that cheesecake. Alternately, you could powder them and sprinkle them on top afterwards with your whipped cream. Many ways you could kind of treat that, but I like that combination of pecans and maple, bourbon, and pumpkin. The pumpkin cheesecake, like I said at the beginning, you know, it makes something richer. Just really great texture to it. Another use, and I did this a couple of times with either squash. Pumpkin, again, pumpkin does not have very much flavor to it. So if you're using pumpkin for things, you really have to jazz it up. But butternut squash, again, or one of these winter squashes, not the spaghetti squash, actually, but you can cut it into chunks. They can be batter fried and served as a snack. Or I've done it, I did a dessert one time, and actually it was fritters. You could use, again, if you're using pumpkin, you really want to sweeten it, or the squash, and a little fritter batter. I made a cranberry rice that I served chilled, like a not really a rice pudding. I guess you would call it arroz con leche in Central or South America. The arborio rice cooked in milk with sugar and a little bit of vanilla. And actually, I put a cinnamon stick in there and cooked that rice until all the liquid's absorbed and it's nice and soft. And to that, I did add some of the plumped cranberries, although that time I put the cranberries in brandy, I think. Just plumped them up in warm alcohol, or you could use a sweet wine, and then folded them to the rice afterwards. The rice is served chilled or even room temperature. And so you've got that creamy vanilla rice and then some fritters made with squash or pumpkin. Just a nice fritter batter, deep fry them. So you've got that warm, cold type thing. You've got crispy and soft. So it could be, it's a, you know, little bit of work, but it's kind of a neat way. Even the fritters could be served as a savory also if you didn't want to take them in a sweet direction. You'll see sometimes in vegetable tempuras, you might see thin slices of squash done like that in a sushi restaurant, usually, or sweet potato, yam, something like that. Any of those would work well as a fried vegetable. So remember with the squash, now, you know, spaghetti squash kind of speaks for itself. Like I said, steam it and use the strands more like pasta. But these other winter squashes, good for sauté, good for steaming and pureeing, good for making soup, good for in a risotto. You can keep them on hand. They store well. Don't have to worry about overcooking them. They're good as puree anyway. If you're making the hash browns, you want to keep a little bit of texture. But besides that, they're very easy to use, maybe easier than potatoes. You don't have to worry about oxidation. You can peel them ahead, prep them ahead if you like. And could be you know, one of your go-to vegetables if you're don't want to use frozen, or you get, you know, carrots are always good too. But the squash, I would say, as a switch from your root vegetables that usually happen this time of year, think of the squashes and taste the different ones, the caboclo, the delicata. Sometimes just doing them with less seasoning and let the squash speak for itself, again, complemented by greens and then a nice either quick or slow-cooked pork or chicken. You've got a nice dinner, and you can have the stuff on hand. If again, the proteins, the squash always pairs well with sausage also if you want something kind of ready done, smoked meats, anything like that. We're going to sign off. We'll be back next week at the table, figure out something else, maybe some fall fruits. Chef Bill's Table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Accused Army deserter and former Taliban prisoner Bo Bergdahl pleading guilty to desertion and misbehavior, saying he doesn't believe he would get a fair trial after comments made by President Trump last year. During his campaign, Trump called the sergeant a traitor. The 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment trooper walked off his combat outpost in Afghanistan in 2009, which led to his capture by the Taliban. Finally, some better news coming out of California, where firefighters are getting control of some of those big wildfires. Sharon Reed has details.
Winds began to die down yesterday, and crews in Northern California say they now have two of the most destructive fires, more than 50% contained.
President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell are to have a working lunch at the White House today. This is USA Radio News.
From the renowned author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries,
Jonathan Cahn brings his latest New York Times bestseller, A Mystery from the Ancient Middle East, foretelling the events of our time. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. In his most explosive book yet, Jonathan Cahn opens the master blueprint that is now unfolding. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. Available wherever fine books are sold.
Franklin Graham calls it a must.